Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this grand privilege of coming together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name you gave your Son, for he came in your name. And Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this series which you're opening up to our hearts, knowing that we become our revelation, and knowing that in this hour, when you said, "Shall I find faith?" it seems like we see more insanity than we see faith. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us to understand that that also is a condition, the end time condition of this hour. And so be with us, Father, as we study thy word tonight. And Lord, may we not just hear a sermon, a good one or a bad one, but Father, may we hear you, hear your word. And may it enter into our hearts. May we not only hear, but may we recognize. And then may we act upon it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening, I would like to continue in our study of faith. And this evening, we're going to look at the subject of faith, which we know is revelation, or insanity. Because these are the two end-time conditions that the entire world will come under before the rapture of the elect. So if you turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 6, verse 11, to see the condition of those who opposed Jesus Christ in the Alpha ministry of Christ, in order to better understand the condition of the world that has turned down the Omega ministry of Christ in this hour. It says, "And they were filled with madness, which is raging insanity." That's the actual Greek definition. "And communed one with another what they might do to Jesus." Filled with insanity. And let's read from Luke 18 and 8 for our text. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" That's a question. Shall he find faith on the earth? And one more scripture for our text. We'll read for just one of the curses that is to come upon all who will not hearken, which means to pay attention to the voice of God. And to hearken means to heed and pay close attention to. In other words, not only hearing, but recognizing and acting upon the voice of the Lord our God. And his voice is his prophets bringing his word. Deuteronomy 28. "The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness of heart," and astonishment of heart. So before we go to prayer, and we're going to pray one more time because I feel led to, but we want to look at the contrast when Jesus comes, because those who hearken to his word and will have faith, which is revelation, and those who will not hearken to his voice, his word, who will come into condemnation, or this condition of madness, which is insanity, blindness, and astonishment of heart. Now, these are three different things that happen here. Let's bow our heads one more time. Gracious Father, we write from your scripture there'll be two conditions in this hour. Faith, which we know to be revelation. And we know, as we've seen, that we have trial, the trial of a revelation. When you have truly revealed something to us, you're going to test us to see how we, we're ordained, Lord, to praise, honor, and glory. But yet, Father, we also know that there's going to be many that will turn down. And your scripture tells us about the parable where the word of God was sown, and because of the trials of the word, they actually get offended and they leave. And so, Lord, we ask you to help us to see what both of these conditions will produce in your elect and in your non-elect. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, to begin with this evening, I'd like to read from the Message Influence, where Brother Brown says, "And if our American people are setting the pace today before our children of smoking cigarettes and women and men drinking and cards in the house and dice, and what kind of a people will we have in the next generation that is to come? What kind of people will we have in the next generation to come? It'll be a bunch of neurotics," in which I think the whole world is just about in that condition now. "Then if this race, or this generation, rather, is like this, what will the next one produce? Then if there would be another, why, the whole human race, if it keeps going in the way it is, will become extinct altogether, because they're killing ourselves and setting examples for others." Now, what Brother Branham was seeing in his day was neurosis, which, if not dealt with, will lead to insanity. The word neurosis is defined as a relatively mild personality disorder typified by excessive anxiety or indecision and a degree of social or interpersonal maladjustment. Well, we're seeing that in the news on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Neurosis, according to Webster, is defined as any of various psychic or mental functional disorders characterized by one or several of the following reactions: anxiety, compulsion, obsession, phobia, depression, disassociation, and conversion. Now, I preached a message, though, it's got to be 20 years ago now, called the End Time Neurosis, and we broke this down, and we preached on each characteristic here and showed how it's a progression. You know, they begin with anxiety. They begin by worrying about things that might happen, and then that moves into a compulsive behavior, and they start trying to prepare themselves for that thing which they think might happen, and then they get obsessed by it. It becomes obsession. When that happens, there's actually a possession takes place, and you enter into phobia, fear, and fear has a penalty. The Bible tells us, you know, Joseph, when he feared to take Mary to be his wife, what did he do? He stopped the engagement. He was going to put off, and the angel of the Lord came and said, hey, don't fear not. You see, this is really from God what's happening here. Well, then phobia or fear, it moves into depression. And depression, you know, you begin to disassociate. You begin, you know, not to eat with people. You begin not to fellowship with people. And that leads to disassociation. And finally, when you've gone through those steps, you enter into a full conversion. You're fully neurotic. You're actually an insane person at that point. Now, notice there are seven of these attributes, and that is the number of completion. Brother Ram said in his sermon, Christ revealed in his own word, he said, I was just talking to a young minister and his wife in the room just a few minutes ago, and both of them are nervous, just like the rest of the world, the rest of human beings on earth. Now, really, they had a reason to, because, look, we had Russia sitting right off of our coast in Cuba with atomic missiles. Remember? How many remember Duck and Hyde, or whatever it was? Not Duck and Hyde, but it was Duck and Hyde. You know, we were taught as young children that you know, if the missiles come, we'll only be given maybe less than 15 minutes warning. And so the best thing to do is duck under your chair, like, you know, we were in school, so you duck under your desk and fold your hands above your head. And that's just hope for the best. Because there's really nothing that could happen. I mean, nothing you could do about it. And so the whole world at that point was entering into a very big disturbance, because we had now... It wasn't just conventional military conflicts. The world had a capability with Russia and the United States, and now with many, many others, has a capability of just completely obliterating, incinerating, putting you into another dimension just like that. So he said, now remember, Satan's got a punch coming at you. I don't care who you are. He's got a right to that one punch. Now, which would you rather that punch be? Would you rather be blind or be an arthritic sitting in a chair or be nervous? See? He's got somewhere that he could punch you. He's got a right to that open place. Now, that's the spot you've got to keep covered all the time. In other words, if you don't know your shortcomings, you can't keep them covered. But when you know your shortcomings, you place that under the blood of Jesus Christ, and you keep it placed under the blood of Jesus Christ. And to see this nervous age that we're living in, and last week's tape, I think that will reveal to you the great hideous things that we're going to speak on one of these days when we get to a place sufficient of the opening of those last plagues to be poured out upon the earth, those vials rather, pouring out of the vials and the seven thunders and those hideous sights that's coming upon the earth. Men now and people today are in such a neurotic condition, the whole world. Men now and people today are in such a neurotic condition. Notice, the whole world. Now, that was 1965. And remember, we read the definition of neurosis. And we found that neurosis is, let me just find it here. The word is defined as a relatively mild personality disorder typified by excessive anxiety or indecision and a degree of social or interpersonal maladjustment. Well, what is it today? It's way beyond what he was talking about. It's way beyond neurosis. It's actually moved itself into full-blown insanity. So we see that this neurotic condition is a worldwide mental condition that has come upon mankind like a trap. Just as we see the Laodicean condition as being of being naked, blind, and miserable is a universal condition as well. Now, from his sermon, Letting Off the Pressure, Brother Branham said, we are living in a neurotic age, nervous tension. Everybody's racing here and going there and going nowhere. It's just at that kind of an age. And I know that this church will be plagued with it as everywhere's plagued with it. Tabernacle's plagued with it everywhere, the whole world. It's a day of pressure. Hurry, 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 hurry up. And then wait. Drive 90 miles an hour and then to get home for supper and then wait 2 hours till it gets ready. Now, why would a man drive 90 miles an hour to get home for supper? Because there's pressure coming from the wife. You know, you're never here when I cook it. So he hurries up. He weaves through traffic. He gets home. And when he gets home, she hasn't put it on yet because she, you know, their communications is not good. That's right. And that makes a person nervous. Makes him edgy. And in that rushing and speeding, it gets you in a nervous tension. The wife says something a little contrary and you want to fly off. Temper. Husband says something, you'll pat your foot and you'll tell him to get in the room. See? Well, now, husband, I don't want no words with you. Go out of here. Wife, oh, so nervous. Why? What's the matter? See? And from confirmation of my commission, Brother Bram said, and the world is quivering and shaking. Little nations everywhere with missiles that'll blow a hole in the ground 150 feet deep for 250 and 300 miles square. Three of them at one time would sink the whole earth. The whole world's in neurotic condition. The church has gone away from the word. Notice, they're in a neurotic condition. Why? Because they have left the word. We sing the song, He is my peace. Oh, who is He? He's the Word. And when you step out away from Him as your peace, what happens? You get caught up in what's going on in the world, the conditions, the speed, everything else. Now, the question is, what has produced this neurotic condition and what is it ordained to produce in the people? Well, to begin with, let's see what causes this condition to begin with. If we turn to the book of Deuteronomy, we'll find out that this condition of neurosis, which leads to total insanity, is caused when people lack faith in the voice of the Lord God and will no longer pay close attention to it. And remember, we read from our text this morning, or we're reading from our text this morning, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? In Deuteronomy 28:15, we read, but it shall come to pass. Now notice, he's speaking of this future here. Someday it'll come to pass. If thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do. A lot of people say, well, I don't have to do, Brother Brown did. It's good enough for me. I'm counting on that. If thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all of these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Which the word overtake means to take over. You're no longer in control. You're under the curse. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the country, in the field. Cursed shalt thou be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. What's the fruit of your body? It's your children. And the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. In other words, that's upon all your travel. This nation shows it's under a curse when you have to have TSA and all this other stuff, not only in the airports, but in the bus stations and the train stations. And they want to know you're coming, they want to know you're going. And you know, who's going to curse you? Who's going to do this to you? He says, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing and vexation. This word means confusion or uproar. It means destruction, discomfiture, trouble, and tumult. And then he says, and rebuke. and all that thou settest thine hand unto do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings. So what's the wickedness of our doings? He tells you right next. Whereby thou hast forsaken me. We serve a jealous God. He is a jealous God. He wants your attention. So God is a jealous God. Whether you think that's right or not, it doesn't change who He is. God is a jealous God, and He showed it through the Old Testament. He showed it in the New Testament. Jesus came in with a whip in His hand, and He ran them out of the temple because they were selling, you know, making merchandise off the Word of God. And then He says, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until He have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and we know that all disease is caused by inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew. There's no getting around the mildew. You live in the Ohio Valley. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. And the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies, and thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them. And thou shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth, and thy carcass shall be meant, or shall be meat unto all fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt. No man can stop this coming. Not even Donald Trump. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt. That's burning inflammation and boils. And with the emerods, that's inflammation, it's basically hemorrhoids. And with the scab, and that's from an incessant itching, as he adds next, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. He's talking about incurable, irritating conditions here. Now, the next verse is where I want to get to us this evening in our study, because these conditions have to do with the mental state of the people. Verse 28, the Lord shall smite thee. Who's going to smite thee? I'm not talking about you that have hearkened to and obey and do what the voice of the Lord says. I'm talking about anybody who doesn't. The Lord shall smite thee with madness. Where's madness? It's insanity. And with blindness, darkness, everything dark and there's no bright future. Everything's just dark and dismal. And astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as a blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy way, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Again he says it. And that includes, as I said, Donald Trump. Now this word madness was translated from the Hebrew word shigam, and was translated as madness, having its root from the word shega, which means to rave through insanity. And if we don't hear the ravings of insane people today, I mean, you have to be deaf and blind not to see it going on. So we see the curse will result in the people becoming raving lunatics, completely insane in their rantings. And we're seeing that condition every day, every single day in the news. Now let's combine that with the other words that he used here, which was blindness and astonishment of heart. The Hebrew word timahon, you know, my pronunciation, you'll have to forgive me if you're a fluent Greek, because I'm just using phonics, because I'm hooked on it. Anyway, it speaks of consternation, which means a sudden alarming amazement or dread that results in utter confusion and dismay. And the English word the translators use, astonishment, which means overpowering wonder or surprise, amazement, and stupefy. Now, when I look at the word stupefy, I think of being stupid. But this shows that people will lose their mental capabilities of knowing right from wrong. And will, as a result, come to the place where they cannot even take responsibility for their own actions because they have become so blinded to the link between their own actions and the penalty for such actions that they incur. As an example, we have all we have to do is to look at the mental breakdown of the woman who just this past week got a lot of publicity for holding a fake bloody head of the President of the United States. When the President's wife said this disturbed her 11-year-old son, who was watching the news and saw the picture, and he ran to her side crying because he thought that they had killed his daddy, the woman responded by saying, "Those were bullying words. She should have said that." I mean, we're looking at insanity, brother, sister. This woman did this intentionally to hurt the President's 11-year-old boy. That's insanity. Here's what she said before doing the stunt. She actually said to the cameraman, "You know, when we finish this, we're going to have to move to Mexico because they're going to throw us in jail." Then why did you do it? You see, this doesn't make any sense. They know, and yet they think they can get out of it because they're mentally gone. She said, "I'm happy to deliver beat down to Donald Trump and also to Barron. You know, a lot of comics are going to go hard for Donald. My edge is that I'll go direct for Barron. I'm going to get in ahead of the game." And there's a link here. If you're on the internet, you can click on the link and actually see the statement made. USA Today reported the reaction of the Trump family, which I thought was a very good reply to such a wicked stunt as this woman did. Melania said, "As a mother, a wife, a human being, that photo is very disturbing." The First Lady said in the statement issued by her press secretary, Stephanie Grisham, in response to the reporter's question late Wednesday morning, "When you consider some of the atrocities happening in the world, a photo opportunity like this is simply wrong and makes you wonder about the mental health of the person who did it." I would have said a lot worse than that. I would too. You would have too, Michael. I thought that was very gracious. Now, the President later tweeted, "Kathy Griffin should be ashamed of herself. My children, especially my 11-year-old son, Barron, are having a hard time with this. It's sick." Now, to me, that was a mild response to such a sick display of wicked behavior. So how did this woman react to the President and his family's response to her evil? She hired a lawyer to sue them for bullying her. From Breitbart News, we read, "Kathy Griffin has hired high-powered attorney Lisa Bloom and will hold a press conference Friday to address the firestorm surrounding the viral image of herself holding the bloody decapitated head of President Donald Trump and the bullying she claims she has endured at the hands of the Trump family as a result." So if somebody says to you, "You should be ashamed of yourself," that's bullying, according to her. If someone says, "You know, that's sick," well, that's bullying. So it's okay to hold a picture, or not a picture, an actual head. Not real, it was, I'm sure, a dummy of some sort. But from True News, a Christian publication, we read, "Does Kathy Griffin's meltdown following her decapitation stunt show that a collective insanity has taken over the leftist elite?" You see, even the mainstream denominational Christians understand there's an insanity in the land today. So it shouldn't surprise us in this message, because we had a prophet vindicated by God, told us it was going to come 50 years ago, and it's here. Listen, most of these so-called celebrities today, they grew up in a Christian home, or at least a God-fearing home, where the parents were very devoted to their church. Kathy Griffin said, "My parents sent me to Catholic school, which only made me the vehement militant atheist that I am today," she told the LA magazine in 2005. So they sent her to parochial school in order to, you know, a quote-unquote Christian school, in order to keep her out of the public schools. It didn't do any good.
but they try. Brad Pitt said, many people find religion to be very inspiring, he said. Myself, I found it very stifling. I grew up with Christianity, and I remember questioning it greatly. Katy Perry recently told Vanity Fair that as a child, her parents, both evangelical pastors, wouldn't read any book to her other than the Bible and refused to let her listen to non-religious music. I didn't have a childhood, she said, growing up seeing Planned Parenthood. It was considered like the abortion clinic. She questioned Christianity from an early age. In my faith, you're just supposed to have faith, she said. And that's the problem. They don't know what faith is. They think it's their doctrine or their religious conviction. They call religion faith when faith is a revelation. And they had none. Remember, Jesus said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he? That's a big question mark. Because you can look around today and you ask yourself, well, we saw a man of God had faith, certainly did. But how many people today have faith to do what he did? And he only did what Jesus did. And Jesus promised that if you believe in him, if you're filled with his spirit, you'll do the same thing. And how many people have faith for that? So the question is, shall he find faith? Because listen, if you don't have it, and that's the revelation of Jesus Christ, if you don't have it, then you're ordained to the insanity. It ought to get you to your knees tonight and ask God, how late is it when there's insanity everywhere I look? You go down the highway, and if you're going 55 to 60 miles an hour because you're not feeling good and you just want to stay under the speed limit, and they're going 70, 80 miles an hour around you, and they give you, you know, their IQ when they pass you. That's insanity. I remember back, it's been coming on for years, I remember back taking a trip when I was in college. It's a long time ago. And I went down with the track team down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana for a track meet. And we saw in front of us two truckers jostling with each other until one forced the other one off the road into the ditch. Insanity. I was on a few years later, I was on a business trip in Dallas, and there was guys shooting at each other on the highway. I just hit the brakes and pulled back. Insanity. That is why the Lord says, I will smite thee with a condition of madness, raving insanity, that will cause a blindness that they will have no understanding of the ramification of even their own actions. Deuteronomy 28, the Lord shall smite thee with madness, blindness, and an astonishment of heart. Now notice God's prophet taught us that this condition of insanity will be worldwide. All we have to do is go back to Jeremiah, and we read, Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken, and the nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. He's prophesying. And he is not speaking of the nation of Babylon, because Babylon means confusion, and he's speaking of the end time condition of confusion and insanity brought about at the end time by the Catholic Church and her daughter churches that is spoken of in prophecy in the book of Revelation chapter 17 and 18. In Revelation 17:1 we read, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and he talked to me, saying, Come unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And never forget, a woman represents in the Bible a church, always either a bride or a whore who is unfaithful to her vows. Now, from his sermon, Lord, just once more, Brother Branham said, woman in the Bible represents church. From Mark of the Beast, he said, what does a woman represent? The church. from it wasn't so from the beginning. He said Eve was the first one to pervert the human race. She was the one, the Eve, which represents a church. A woman in the Bible always represents the church. Christ is coming for an espoused virgin. The old prostitute of the Bible is called the church sitting on seven hills, the Roman church. And she had daughters, which was the others that followed her and come out of her and was born from her in their same denominational barriers and same thing, same kind of a system. And them churches, there are fine people. But it's a system that binds them. It's not the church itself. It's the people in the church. It's the system behind it that binds them, puts them into a place, breaks out fellowship, won't let them go on with God. And it's a pitiful thing, but that's what God hates. Not the people in there, but the system that's binding them is what he hates. Is that organization that tells them that if they go to another church, they're going to be excommunicated, and the people don't know what to do, they pay for it someday. They'll pay for it someday. And from recognizing your day and its message, he said, did you notice the fall of the world begin with the immorality of a woman? Do you know it's to the end the same way, immorality of the woman? The church represents it by the woman. The church is a woman, spiritually speaking. So is the bride, a woman, spiritually speaking. The immorality of the church, how it's done, look at the visions, look at the things, see the visions, even that God gives, and that vision is true. I have my Bible over my heart to you people on tape, and the audience can see it. And I saw that. God Almighty knows that that's truth. Never known it till just now. There she is naked and don't even know it. She was just having her great time. There you are. But that little bride come in view, it was different, the Alpha and the Omega. So notice this church that John is writing about. He says in verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Notice drunkenness is a mental disorder brought on by excessive alcohol that perverts judgment. In this case, it's wine. Wine represents the stimulation of revelation. All right? So they have a revelation, but it's not God's revelation. So therefore, it's not the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of the church. It's not even revelation. It's bad wine. And bad wine will actually cause more damage than good wine. So he carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken or intoxicated, mentally disoriented, with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. And here is a mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, remember, a woman is a church, and she is also, this one, a city that reigns over the kings of the earth. And there's only one city-state that is also a church, and that is the Vatican City. And it reigns over the kings of the earth. And it says, he brings on this mental disorder by her idolatrous relationship with the kings of the earth. Now, from his sermon, Invisible Union of the Bride, Brother Branham warned, well, what are we saying? What's Brother Branham driving at here, too? The insanity in this world is a result of the pulpits not teaching the revelation of Jesus Christ. And therefore, they're teaching conduct, order, and doctrine, but not revelation. And so the people come to church, and the young people, they see their parents are very big hypocrites. And they watch their parents, and their parents, you know, they put on their good clothes when they come to church, but, you know, when they get home, they dress immodestly, they do things they shouldn't do, and they drink, they cuss, they swear, they smoke, they do whatever. And the children see that, and they say, what a bunch of hypocrisy. It's idolatry. And so the children leave, and of course the children go into insanity like that. From Invisible Union, Brother Ram warned us that the complete, total insanity this world will go right into a way. It's almost there now. Why, you can't, you can see the footsteps of it. There it is. It's marching right out on the street, right down the church pew. Total insanity. Where's it coming from? The church pew. doing things that a human being wouldn't think of doing and being civilized. Look at Hollywood. Look what Hollywood's done to women. Look how it's robbed the sacred virtues of the woman. On and on we could go. See, all of this she lost. How did she do it? Because she was a subtle instrument called the church. Like there was in the Garden of Eden, a subtle person, the devil, walked into the church, just like he did in the Garden of Eden, and deceived her into it. She's deceived, the woman thinks, well, she don't mean to be wrong. Eve didn't mean to be wrong, it wasn't willfully, but the Bible said in 1 Timothy, she was deceived, and deceived is not when you willfully do it, it's when you are deceived into doing it. Like the woman said to Brother Val years ago, she said, well, she said, no, I don't understand, therefore I won't be held accountable. He said, no. You will be held accountable, therefore you better understand. You know, we have FBI that says, well, you know, the woman did all this evil stuff. She purposely hid it, and she destroyed the evidence and everything else, but you know, she didn't have intent. Is that an insane statement or what? Pure insanity. You give a list, and you get the people in anticipation for 15 minutes. You lead them on thinking she's going to be prosecuted. She's done this and this and this and this and this. You name all of the criminal acts that she did, and you say, but there's no intent. Insanity. Our government is run by a bunch of lunatics, insane people. In Revelation 3, verse 14, and unto the church, remember, Jesus said, when I come, shall I find faith? Well, what he's going to see is nothing but insanity. And this insanity is caused because the church has left the word. Revelation 3:14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. In other words, they are just indifferent. They could take it or leave it, and it wouldn't matter to them which way that they go. But God says, I would that thou wert cold or even hot. I would. I'd rather you be totally against or totally for. But to claim to be and you don't do anything about it. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And his mouth is his word, where faith comes from by hearing what? The word. So when God spews them out of his word, that means the light is taken from them and they must go into darkness, which is insanity. And their minds are darkened. Remember the curse, madness, blindness, that's your insanity, total darkness. And then you know, the heart just doesn't understand what's going on. Their minds are darkened. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Brother Brown taught us that is a condition of insanity. It is a condition of the mind of mental deficiency. It's called madness. And he tells us it is because they have left the Word of God and the delusion they have, they have been received by, it brings on madness or insanity. From Satan's Eden, Brother Branson, now remember he's speaking to the church of this age. To the church. Wretched, blind, naked, and don't know it. That last phrase, Brother Branson says, that last word is what makes it so striking. They think that they are well filled with the Spirit. They're all ready. Excuse me. The Laodicean church age is the Pentecostal church age because it is the last church age. Now notice he said, the last phrase, that last word is what makes it so striking. It's not the fact that they are wretched, blind, and miserable, or naked, but the last part says, and they don't even know their own condition. I can't understand, boo, I can't understand, I'm being bullied by the Trumps because they said that, that I should have done that. Oh, that's such a terrible bully. From the latest in church age, Brother Brown said, all right. I noticed another thing, said, they are naked and don't know it. Sure. Oh, naked and don't know it. Now, that person is in a miserable fix. If a man is wretched, blind, miserable, naked, now, and if he knows it, he'll help himself. But if he don't know it, the poor fellow's mentally gone. Is that right? That was kind of strong. Mentally gone. He doesn't know enough to help himself. If you see somebody coming down the street, poor, miserable, blind, wretched, and naked, and you say, "Brother, you are naked." He says, "Oh, I am." "Uh-oh, brother, help me in somewhere. I'm going to get some clothes on." But notice the condition of Laodicea. It is miserable, blind, and naked, yet doesn't even know what the condition they are in. That's insanity. That's the story of the emperor's new clothes. He was insane, and everyone was afraid to tell him, and he walked around undressed thinking that he had some great fashion that made him so proud because somebody sold him a bill of goods. But one day, a little boy blurted out the question, "Why is the emperor naked?" And he realized his condition. That is a condition not only of the world, but the Laodicean church age itself. And notice what Brother Branham brings to our attention, that this worldwide insanity will be brought on by the deception that Satan has brought and through the church. But God has combated this deception with His Word and with faithful ministry to handle the Word of God. Excuse me. Let me just grab a drink here. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, that means for the equipping and maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that means the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, not of faith. Unity of the faith. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ, because he said there's only one Lord and one faith. Brother Brown said if you have more than one Lord, you can have more than one faith. And the knowledge of the Son of God. And you cannot have a unity of the faith without the understanding, the relationship between the Father, that the Father had with His Son. And this unifying of the faith, the revelation of Christ, and the knowledge of the Son of God is supposed to bring us to the place, he says, unto a perfect man. A fully mature, stable Son of God. Unto the measure of the stature of Christ, the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, this ministry by handling the Word of God with an anointing upon them and to bring the people into the very stature of Christ, which is the very character of Christ. And for that purpose, he says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Saw a discussion the other day of a senator, Sass, from Nebraska. And the discussion was, in what other age have you seen people that are 10 years old, 15 years old, 25 years old, and 40 years old, and you can't tell the difference between their actions? In no other age did 30-year-old men act like 16-year-old boys. When you turn 18, you either got a job, you went into the military, or you went to school. You knew you had responsibility, and so you knew that you had to produce. Today's, I'm going to say some things tomorrow about the millennial generation. If you're a millennial, don't call yourself a millennial. You're either a son or daughter of God. Don't call yourself, don't identify with the millennials. Brother Brown says there wouldn't be another generation. These people that are millennials today, and I'm excluding the sons and daughters of God because they're not of this world. But those that are of this world, they're insane. You know, all this, they call them snowflakes. Grown children, 23, 24 years old, and they couldn't handle an election, so they had to have a coloring book or a teddy bear. Grown people with mental deficiency. And tomorrow we're going to get into some issues that are being pumped to the millennial generation. And it's all deception. It's all lies. It's all producing the insanity that we see today. And I'm going to hit it hard, so, you know, if you think I might hit you, just don't come. And actually, if you think I'm going to hit you, you better come. All right. In other words, by handing the Word of God with an anointing upon them to bring the people to the stature of Christ, the very character of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. It's on purpose. The deception is not an accident. It's purposeful. So right there, Paul is speaking of twins. You have a God-ordained true fivefold ministry, and then you have a false ministry endowed by Satan to deceive. And he says of them, they lie in wait to deceive, so the entire purpose is deception. Now, I don't have time. I did put it in my notes. But if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul calls them ministers of Satan. All right? From his sermon fellowship, Brother Branham said, at the certain big Bible college the other day, we was coming up, going fishing, and we went down to a place for afternoon fishing. And we come back up, and I never heard such a noise in my life. Young girls out of this famous college and young boys, shorts on down there. Oh my, and talk you've never heard. Letting off the steam. And I guess they thought that was the way to do it. What's the ministers there hatching out? What's this next generation going to be? It's full of Rickies and Elvises now. What in the world would it be in another generation? What's it going to be? There you are. Oh, brother, something gets in me. I just can't help it. Notice he blames it on the ministries, the ministers, and so we should. That is why America has fallen, because they forsook the message when God visited this nation and did what he did, and the churches and pulpits fall away from that. No wonder this millennial generation is so lost in sin, because their parents are. As I mentioned in number 3 in the series of faith, this is the hour that you will either receive faith or you will receive a delusion. You will either receive or enter into the revelation of Jesus Christ and become Christ-like, so Christ-like, or you'll enter into a deception and go into insanity. And it all depends on whether you hear, you recognize, and then you act upon the Word of God. Then Paul says the true fivefold ministry and what they are to produce in the children of God. He says, but speaking the truth in love, that they may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Not growing up unto, as though He is one and you are next to Him, but He says that you may grow up into Him. Why? He's the head. Now, this word into was translated as such from the Greek word eis, which indicates the point reached or entered into of place or time. In other words, there's your goal, becoming Christ-like. In other words, we enter into Christ by putting on Christ, as he also said in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And again, in Romans 13:14, he says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. From the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So here you have the entire world is groaning and waiting for sons of God to be manifested. And there we got a Laodicean church who sits back and she says, oh, the prophet did it. I'm satisfied with that. I'll ride in on that. That's insanity. When you know that he says that every man will have to give an account for the works done in his flesh, and then you say, well, I'm not going to do any works. I'm not talking about working your way into heaven. I'm talking about your responsibility as a Christian. Your responsibility as a parent to raise your children up in the admonition of God. Your responsibility to brothers and sisters in your hemisphere. to be Christ-like to them. Now, let's continue with what Paul was teaching us, because he points out that there are a true fivefold ministry and a false ministry, as we read on a little bit further. He said, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Now, what does it mean, in vain, do they do it? It means they do things that have absolutely no rhyme or reason to them. There's no outcome expected. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Notice, walk not as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The heart is blind. What happens? It goes into ignorance. It becomes alienated from the life of God, and their understanding is totally darkened. "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ." We saw a sacrifice. We saw Paul's sacrifice. We saw William Brown's sacrifice. What about yours? Jesus said to the rich young ruler, "Unless you pick up your cross, unless you're willing to crucify yourself and follow me, you cannot be my disciple." Now notice the progression Paul speaks of that zaps the life right out of the people. He calls it the vanity of their minds. Now, these words, the vanity of their minds, that Paul speaks of here, comes from the Greek word mateotes, which speaks of the emptiness and moral depravity. And this this is the cause, he says, because of having the understanding darkened, and that is caused because of their being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And by the way, that blindness is self-inflicted. So it all comes down to the condition of the heart or the mind. And in the blindness of their heart, they are ignorant of the life of God and thus become alienated or separated from the life of God, which comes from His Word. Now, the Apostle Peter says the same thing. He puts it in different words, but he shows us how that the Word of God is what brings us into the very nature of God's life. In 2 Peter 1 and 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you," how? "Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord." You want more peace? You want more grace in your life? It comes through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. "According as His divine power," and the Apostle Paul tells in Romans 1 and 18 that the power of God is the Word of God. So we read on, "According as His divine power, the Word of God hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godlikeness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Now notice, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory, doxa, God's opinions, values, and judgment, and virtue, which is a fully grown manhood. That's adoption talk. Then Peter continues, he says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by," what's a promise? "When I give you my word," that's my promise, right? So when God gives us His word, these are His promises, "that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature," the God nature, "having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this giving all diligence, add to your faith, add to your revelation of Jesus Christ, virtue," fully grown manhood, adoption, readiness. And then to virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and patience, God-likeness. And to God-likeness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten, has lost his mind, that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So in all of these cases and all of these quotes and scriptures, we see an end-time condition where you're either receiving the word, it will either bring you into the revelation of Jesus Christ, where you will put on Christ, or by not receiving the Word of God, you will enter into deception, blindness, and completely enter into a state of insanity. And And we're looking at the church age, the last church age, and the fact that Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith? Hope he's not talking about you. Hope you're not talking about me. Now, from his sermon of the trial, Brother Branham said, but bear me record, the seventh church age, which is the Laodicean church age, will we admit that this is the Laodicean church age? Now remember, he, the Word, was put out of the church. Is that right? Put out of the church, and he was on the outside trying to get back in. I stand and knock at the door, and you say that, well, I'm rich and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art miserable, blind, wretched, and don't know it? Naked, don't know it? He was on the outside, the Word. What is it? Our traditions. Our Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal tradition has rejected the Word. And it can have no cooperation nowhere. Everybody's hands off of it and want to call it an evil spirit. And do you understand that Jesus said in the last days before the coming of the end time that he would be revealed again as Son of Man, not Son of God? And that fulfilled Malachi 4 and all these other promises of Abraham. The last sign that Abraham received, he was waiting for the coming Son. And the last sign that he was to receive was God revealed to human beings. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot and Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, from his sermon, Jehovah Jireh, the first half of that paragraph, we're going to close with the last half of that paragraph, but he says, look to things that you don't see with your eyes. You don't see with your eyes anyhow. You see with your heart. And you look with your eye. So then, standing in that door of faith, now look what Jesus said here. Let me read here. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. Now look at our churches. We used to be down on the alley. We used to be on the corner with a tambourine. But now we got some of the best buildings there is in the country, sometimes some of the best polished scholars in the pulpits. Because thou sayest, I am enriched and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that you are poor, wretched, naked, blind, and you don't know it. Now, if I seen a man on the street that was poor, and he didn't even have clothes on, and he was blind, and if I could go on, go to him and talk to him about it, and say, sir, do you realize that you're naked? Oh, am I, sir? Yes. Come in here. I'll give you some clothes. But what if that man is naked, miserable, poor, and blind, and don't know it? That's a delinquent person. That's a mental deficiency, and the church has become spiritually deficient. They don't realize that God is shaking every gift before the church, and they don't recognize it, blind and don't know it. Now think of it. Naked, and a naked person, a blind person, poor and miserable and wretched, and don't know it. That's pathetic. And Jesus said the church would be that way in the Laodicean age, and it's here. Well, I'm so-and-so. I belong to this denomination. I'm as good as you are. Now, I'm going to get to the rest of it in just a moment. But first, from his sermon, Christ revealed his own word. Brother Brown said, that Laodicean church, naked, blind, miserable, don't even know it. See, it's not anointed. Anointed with the real spirit. See that Holy Spirit can fall upon a man in his spirit, but his soul is his germ. That germ is the word. See, I don't care how much you preach, how well you do this, how much you love. That's one of the inlets of the Spirit. You can't love with your body. You love with your spirit. That's one of the inlets. And you can love and even love God and still not be right. You can cast out devils and preach and do these things, still not be right. Jesus said so. He said many will come in the last days. But that Word settles it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And from his sermon, presence of God, and recognize, Brother Branham said, but when you don't know that you're wrong, the Bible says thou art wretched. In this age, the church would be wretched, miserable, poor, naked, blind and naked, and don't even know it. Just think of a man or woman was on the street, wretched, poor, blind, miserable, naked, and you could tell them that they were naked and they would listen to you, but what if they were naked and they don't believe it? What a mental condition that is. Well, now, that's what kind of a spiritual condition it is. People are spiritually blind, wretched, miserable, naked before God. Sinners trying to cover themselves behind fig leaves of some denomination, and they don't even know it. And from a sermon, Jehovah Jireh, he said, and that's the way we've done the churches. We made it pretty and decorated it with denominational tinsel, but it ain't got no life in it. It can't produce the Bible evidence again. It can't produce the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. That's John 14:12 is talking about. It's a hybrid affair. Better dressed people, better paid, bigger denominations, richer of the Laodicean age, exactly. Rich, have need of nothing. Know not that you're miserable, wretched, blind, poor, and naked, and don't even know it. If a man know that he was naked, you could talk to him, but when he don't know it, that's a miserable shape. It's pitiful. Don't scorn the people, but have mercy. What if that was you in that condition? What if the words wasn't revealed to you? What would you do? What else would matter if your eyes were so blind you couldn't see it? That's a miserable sight. And just exactly positionally, you can't lay a finger on it. There it sets. Just what he said would take place. These signs would be in the last days. See where they're setting just exactly. So see how Brother Rand places this condition for the end time, the last days, and it shows us right here that the difference between having the revelation and no revelation is the difference of being miserable, blind, and naked, and not even knowing. Revelation produces Christ in you and true holiness, and a lack of revelation brings blindness to your own wretchedness and your miserable, blind, and naked condition. In other words, you will either have revelation or insanity. That is the end time condition that he's speaking of here. Now, notice the remedy in Revelation 3:18. For this end time condition of the church, he said, I counsel thee to buy me gold, that's deity, godlike, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. White raiment? Because we are told to put on Christ, we are told also that we are to be dressed in the Word, for Christ, the One, is the One that we must put on, and He's the Word. Now, let's go back to the rest of that quote and we'll close. Brother Rand said, but brother, he said, counsel me and buy white raiment. White raiment in the Bible is called the righteousness of the saint. Buy of me white raiment. Buy of me gold tried in the fire of Calvary. Buy me gold, the holy oil of God poured out. Buy that kind of gold, buy the righteousness of the saints that thou mayest be hid. And we know righteousness is right wiseness, which means you are rightly wise, which can only come via revelation. So we see in the end time, the Laodicean age, you're either dressed in white, being rightly wise, or you are blind and naked and don't even know it. Now, from Revelation 3:5, we read, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And again, back to Revelation 3 and verse 18. I counsel thee to buy me gold, that's deity, God-like, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. In other words, it is covered. For we are dead, and our lives are hid with Christ in God. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that's oil, which represents the Holy Ghost, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Notice, I will come into him. Not I will come to him. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I am overcome, and I am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So we see the condition of the Laodicean church age is very grim. For it is either blind, miserable, and naked, and doesn't know it, or it has its heart anointed with the revelation of Jesus Christ and has become the very right wiseness of God. Now, in closing, Brother Ransom, from Power of Transformation. And the women have to dress themselves so immoral to get out amongst people and to say, I'm a good woman. Well, what's she putting herself out there like that for? She's blinded. Well, if one of these sisters here of little age, if your mother or my mother would have walked out on the street the way one of these women, they'd have put her in an insane institution. She didn't even have enough mind to know to put on her clothes. Well, if it was insanity then, it's insanity now. It's still the same type of women. See, but they've lost all their decency, all their understanding. They've lost it. And their modern understanding with culture and education, it's healthier to be. It's sinful and death. Notice they are all not like they used to be and then from a certain sign, it's insanity. And any young people, I remember, listen, teaching ninth grade history, American history, and we had the film clips,
And you were there.
I don't know. You remember those? Walter Cronkite, I think it was. And they showed in the 1920s women that were dressing with their dresses above their knee. There's a clip of the police were gathering these women and throwing them. They had to lift them up and carry them and throw them into the paddy wagons. And they took them off to the insane institutions. Because they had to be insane to show themselves the way they were. And if it was insane then, it's insane today. From a certain sound, he said, it's insanity. And any young people that can stand in the building with their hands up and all this carrying on of rock and roll and stuff and beatniks. Remember Maynard G. Krebs? It's insanity. It's dangerous. And they've gone. The mental faculties is broken down. Remember, the tree of knowledge only goes so far and it swings backward. Now listen, either the Holy Ghost is leading you or the devil is deceiving you. And the two spirits would be so close that if possible, it would deceive even the very elect. Now tomorrow morning, we're going to go into some of that deception that have led to in time insanity. And we're going to show you what you need to be careful concerning your own life, that you don't end up in the end time insanity condition that has already put millions of young millennials into its death grip. This generation of millennials are different from other generations. All generations went through kind of a rebellion. But this generation has lost their minds. They have no focus. They've totally rebelled. And the problem is that the other generations that maybe went off for a while and rebelled, their parents had raised them up to know better. And the Bible says, raise up your child in the way they go, and when they get old, they won't depart. But since the 60s, those people living in the 60s, the 70s, that were their teens back then, are now around my age. And most of them, they never raised their kids up to know Christ. And so when the kids departed, whatever morality they might have had in the home, they had nothing to come back to. That's the condition we're in. That's why Brother Brown said, I don't know what the next generation is going to produce. And we're going to look at those quotes tomorrow. As far as occurred. Gracious Father, we want to thank you for helping us to understand that the only ones that will have a sane mind in this hour are those with the mind of Christ. All others are going into complete insanity. We see it even in the antics of many of the young sisters in this message, in the poses they do on Facebook and everything else. And we see they're the same poses that the flappers did back in the 20s. So Father, we just ask you to, oh God, stir our hearts and bring us that holy fire to burn us out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee. If we have the brothers bring the elements at this point, and we'll open our Bibles to John chapter 13. Read our text. And we'll change the order of service.